Good morning. It's a privilege to be with you here this week, and I'm looking forward to spending a couple of weeks with you. And we're actually going to walk through a little mini series, and I've entitled the series "Just Ask." And so you'll get a little magnet as you came in, probably, and I want you to hang on to that. Hopefully, that although it means nothing to you now, will mean something to you at the end. Otherwise, I didn't do my job very well. But let's just open in a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we just we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your promise of your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that's been given to us to guide and direct us and to guard and protect us and to show us your ways. Heavenly Father, we come here today with all kinds of different journeys. And sometimes it's pretty messed up right now for us, and sometimes things are good. But I pray as we all come together, that you would just simply meet us here, that when we walk out this door today, that we will have heard from you in a powerful way, and you will empower us to be obedient to your word. Transform us. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Well, we're gonna look for 3 weeks at what is wisdom. And one of my favorite books in the Bible is definitely the book of Proverbs. And I remember when I was 18 or so, I found this book of Proverbs. It was great stuff. I mean, it was amazing. All these little verses that were really meaningful and very important to me. And I used to read it and read it and read it and read it. In fact, I read it all the time, every night. I don't know what happened later in life, but then I was really into the book of Proverbs. And I remember God just teaching me so much through that book. So I want to take a smaller journey with you through that. I want to just introduce you to the book. If you haven't read the book of Proverbs at all, or maybe even lately, I want to strongly encourage you to get into the book of Proverbs, at least the first 9 chapters, and just listen to the voice of God. And so I want to introduce you to that in hopes of creating some kind of desire for you today to run home and just open it up. And get into it. And I want to give you an introduction here. Proverbs, just chapter 1, starting at verse 1. And this is how it starts. It says, "These are the wise saying of Solomon, David's son, Israel's king. And they were written down so that we will know how to live well and right, to understand what life means and where it is going." Now, when you go to the back of a book and you read the little biography, like, what is this book about? That's what this is. I mean, can you imagine if this is true for a second? Let's assume. You got to be in the book of Proverbs. I mean, the whole world is out there right now asking these questions, right? How do I live a good life? How do I live well? How do I live a life of success? How do I feel good about life? What does it mean? Where is it going? Why am I here? All these questions are saying, this is why the book of Proverbs is written for you, and it's here in its word. Look at this, a manual for living. God has given you a manual for living. It's right here. For the learning of what's right and just and fair, it is to teach you the inexperienced, the ropes. It's to give those young people a grasp on reality. You know, you like to say that to them once in a while, so here you go. It's a verse for you. And it also says there's something here also for the seasoned men and women. You know, the seasoned ones on top, and they still have a thing or two there for them, for the experience to learn. It's fresh wisdom to probe and to penetrate the rhymes and the reasons of wise men and women. And here's how you got to start, it says. You start with God. For this is the first step in learning, is bowing down to God. Only fools would thumb their noses at such wisdom in learning. That's just the introduction. It's very important that we understand what wisdom is and how do we access it. Well, this week, I start with a confession. I got a confession to make. I found myself in court. It all started back to Pathways. It all started back in June when I went through a yellow light. And the police officer said I did an infraction on the yellow light, and he gave me a ticket. I was not very impressed with the ticket. I really felt that I didn't do anything wrong. And so in my wisdom back in June, the police officer said, you know, you can go to court if you like. And I went, that's right, that's what I'll do. I'll go to court. And I've never been in a courtroom before. It was just a great experience. And I have to tell it because I took work time to go there so I can justify by using it as an illustration if I went to work. So anyways, so that's what Pastor Dan said. Anyways, you got to use it. Otherwise, it didn't count. I have to pay it. But I go to court, and the day before, so that was Tuesday, on Monday, I had just spent the entire day reading through the book of Proverbs. And I wanted to go through it this week, all in one day, just cover to cover, to make sure that I got it. I understood the heart. I understood what was going on. And God just opened my eyes to how practical the book of Proverbs really is when we face life. And everything I was hearing that day just reminded me of a verse in Proverbs. And everything, all these little sayings that we say all the time to each other really are coming from the wisdom of God often. Like that one that says, you know, it's better to remain quiet and to be thought of as a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. That's from Proverbs. It's not exact word for word, but that's what Proverbs is saying. And so I'm sitting in court, and I'm watching people open their mouths and removing all doubt. And so I entitled this talk, like, Cynics, Simpletons, and Fools. And I, sorry to start off this way, but I have to break it to you. I'm talking about us, and you're in that, us, part two. We're cynics, we're simpletons, and we're fools. And I'm sitting in court, and God's just showing me, look at the people. Look at what we do. Look at what we say. Look at what we think. And so I saw different kinds of people. I saw a guy who was a cynic, which is another word in the Bible, is like a mocker. And he shows up in court, and he's there to make the cop look stupid. And he's in there, and he's mocking this police officer about how he can't correctly put a date on a ticket. And it was his only defense. It was like he decided to go to court because there was a mistake on the ticket. It wasn't whether or not he was guilty. His argument was, the police officer cannot write a ticket properly, so how can I be sure he caught me speeding? And I mean, the judge, in his wisdom, just kind of looked right through it and went, guilty, pay your fine. And then I saw there was other people, and I got to be the last of the whole day, so I got to watch a lot, and it was God's gift to me. So I saw this other one go in, and God said, here's a simpleton for you. It's a good illustration. And I remember he came up to defend himself. And the police officer said, so why are you here? What are you trying to say? The judge said to him, and he didn't have anything to say. He just somehow thought that people had said to him, you should fight this in court and you get out of tickets. And he literally showed up without a plan, without an idea, just like, if I show up, there's a good chance that this won't happen to me. And he literally stood there. And in fact, what was so neat about his story is that the police officer on the scene had already lowered his ticket. And by the time he had nothing to say for himself in front of the judge put it back to the original fine level, and he walked out the door paying more. To two guys this happened, and I'm watching all this, realizing that I'm in the mix. I'm probably one of these people. And then I saw the fool, and the fool was adamant, I don't speed. And the judge says, is that your situation? Absolutely, well, take the stand. And he took the stand, and he said, I don't speed. And he said, well, how do you know that it wasn't you? And he said, because I had my radar detector on and it didn't go off. And the judge said, well, that doesn't mean. He says, absolutely. If it would have went off, I would have known that he had caught me. And he's using these words totally foolish that he's admitting already. And he's like, I don't speed. I set my cruise at 125. And we're all looking around the room going, really? This is your argument. And wisdom, of course, cut right through it all again. And the judge, you know, said, you're guilty. I mean, it's obvious. And then the judge whispered to the prosecutor, and it wasn't really a whisper, so we could all hear it, but it was after the case, kind of. He was like, by the way, how many tickets does he have on his record? As the guy was walking down. Prosecutor's like, 25. You know, it's just amazing. It was an amazing revelation for me about how we position ourselves and can talk to ourselves and convince ourselves to enter in these processes without regards for wisdom and what really is wisdom. Just in hopes that maybe this isn't going to happen to me. Last time I didn't tell the end of the story, and people came up, what happened? I actually didn't have to pay. I didn't even have to say anything. Thankfully, God spared me that one. They just looked at it and said, you go away, and that was awesome. But I did go away to a parking ticket, so that was a little bit... It's God's way, you know? When you speak, you just know God's got a sense of humor. So, of course, they kept me in court so long that my parking meter had expired and I got a ticket. You know God smiles when. But you know what? You and me have some things in common. You've been the mocker, and I've been the mocker. You've been the cynic, and you've been like critical of other people's wisdom and God's wisdom. And you looked at God's word sometimes and said, that's just not practical. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. It doesn't fit to life. And sometimes you've just been a simpleton. You've been heading off in life and you're just hoping for the best. You play with fire and you're just hoping you're not going to get burnt. You're heading down different decision processes and you're just winging it. And there's other times you've just been a complete fool and you've convinced yourself in the moments that it's okay what I'm doing. But all the while, deep down, you know you're guilty and you shouldn't be doing it. But you convince yourself and you keep going. I do the same thing. We all do the same things. We've done some really dumb stuff, and there's things that you've done in here that you're just hoping that nobody else will ever find out about. There's other things that you're just so embarrassed about because other people do know. And then there's some things that you've done and decisions you've made and journeys that you're on that you just wish more than anything. You dream about, if I could only go back. If I could just go backwards, and if I could just go to that point in my life, I would make a better decision. And all of us have gotten to those places where we stopped and we looked around at what was going on in our life and we simply said, how did I get here? How did I get here? How did I get to this point? This wasn't the plan. And my response for you is fairly simple. It's the same for me. It's the same for all of us. You got there one decision at a time. One by one. And it created a pathway for you. And so some of us, we look backwards. We look back and we see the path. And we say, you know, that looking in the rearview mirror of life or looking at hindsight is 20/20. We can see, that's where I did it. That's where I turned. That's what I should have avoided. I shouldn't have done that. But we all realize that we can't go back. We can't fix it. And so we learn that, unfortunately, this idea of regret doesn't protect us from the future. Just because you regret something you've done in the past, that in itself is not going to protect you from making more mistakes in the future because you've done other mistakes. If we don't learn how we got ourselves down those paths in the first place, we'll never be able to make good decisions in the future. Some of us, if we're honest, we look at some of those pathways and we can literally say, you know, my parents warned me, or I knew better, but somehow I just pressed on. I just went ahead anyways. I knew the truth, but I guess I didn't listen. Some of us are still in denial. We're still as a fool. We're still trying to argue and demand that God, you did something wrong and you messed things up. How could you let this happen to me? How do we get there? Well, we get there by doing what everyone tells us to do, really. They say, trust your heart. They say, go with your gut instinct. They say, follow your emotions. And so we all embraced what we were feeling at the time. We embraced it and we acted. And a lot of us embraced it and we went right into the bad relationship. We embraced how we were feeling and we made the decision to quit. We embraced the decision and we wrote the letter that we regret writing.
We decided to work away from our house more often than stay home. We decided to break the promise or break the confidence that was trusted in us. We decided to go drink and then drive. Or we decided to go to the party that deep down we knew we shouldn't, but we wanted to so bad. We decided to just buy that, even though we knew we couldn't afford it. We just couldn't pass it up. Or we decided to spend that time with someone who wasn't our spouse. We trusted how we felt at the time, and we convinced ourselves to just go with it. Some of these bad decisions, they embarrass us. Some of them, they scar us. And worse, some of these decisions we've made have scarred other people around us. And life, as you know it, will never be the same. But I've concluded something that I think we need to learn from, and that's this. Nobody ever plans to mess up their life. No one sat there and went, I'm going to intentionally make decisions to lead me away from my dreams, my hopes, and my goals. But how many people look back and say, what happened? No one makes a decision to get divorced when they're saying, I do. No one makes the decision to become an addict, but it happens. No one plans to be living under a mountain of debt every day and stressed out, but we get there. How do we get ourselves in these messes? One decision at a time. You see, decisions create pathways. They create boundaries. They box us in, and we keep going farther and farther, and decision after decision, we start moving. And what Proverbs talks about is it's actually a path. It's a road that we're on. It's not a decision by itself. We're not just making decisions. We're actually creating a path for our life. And the worst part is the older you get, you start to see that some of the people who are following you take your path. It's true that wisdom can be found by looking backwards. We can see things clearly when we look backwards. But wouldn't it be nice to see wisdom forwards, where we could actually hear what's coming next, where we could actually see what's coming around the corner, and we can make decisions accordingly? So what's the problem? Why is this so difficult living this way? The reason it's so difficult living this is because we're absolute experts at the art of self-deception. We're experts at it. We convince ourselves. Every poor decision has started with something like this. This won't hurt anybody else. I'll only do it this one time. I deserve this. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I can't pass this up. You know what? If my spouse wasn't like that, then I wouldn't be having a problem with this. I'll be careful. I'll be the exception. I'll do it differently. You know, I can quit if I want to. I love this one. You know what? If God didn't really want me to do this, he could stop me, right? So he'll stop me. I think the problem with us is we don't wake up in the morning asking, what is noble? What is right? What is true? What is pure? What is lovely? We wake up in the morning on a pursuit of happiness. What today will give me more pleasure? What today will make me happier? What today will make me more satisfied? What today can I do in my life to make me feel better? We've been doing what society's been telling us to do, and our closet's full of clothes that we don't wear, and we convince ourselves we don't have any. We go to the car lots, and we look at the other cars, and we look at ours, and all of a sudden it becomes a piece of junk in our eyes. We're just really good at this. The world is screaming at us all the time. And so we choose to follow our hearts, our desires, our passions, even if it means that I'm happy today and in pain tomorrow. Jeremiah 17:9 says just an amazing thing about us. It says the human heart is the most deceitful of all things. The human heart is the most deceitful thing of everything else in the world. That's hard to swallow. What he's saying is you're so good at convincing yourself to do wrong that you don't even know you're doing it. That's the amazing thing about deception, is you don't know you're deceived. You're just so good at it. So how do we do this? How do we get ourselves this way? And I believe it's this. We ask the wrong question every day. The wrong question that we're asking every day is simply this. Is there anything wrong with it? And it sounds like a good question. It sounds good. I want to be moral. I want to be upright. I want to do right, not wrong. And so we take a step down a pathway and we still frame it. And we look at it and we ask the question, is there anything wrong with this? And we look around and we say, no. We take another step. Is there anything wrong with this? No. You can answer that question pretty much right to the brink of disaster. Is there anything wrong with buying a new vehicle? No. Is there anything wrong with going for lunch with someone of the opposite sex? No. Is there anything wrong with going to this party in and of itself? No. Is there anything wrong with having this drink? No. We answer that question over and over and over again, but we're always walking down this path. But we refuse to see it that way. We look at every decision we're making all by itself like a picture. Have you ever watched America's Funniest Home Videos? You know, they freeze frame it, and then they say, now guess what's going to happen to the guy? And we all get to guess, and he doesn't know anything's going to happen to him. He's just standing there. And then they push play, and bam, he gets hit with the football. It's like, yeah, that's what it's like for us. We freeze frame. Is there anything wrong with it? No, it looks good. Anything wrong with this? No, it looks good. And all of a sudden, oh, how did that happen? Because you were asking the wrong question the whole time. You were on a path. You were on a journey towards something. Pathways have destinations. It's not your intention that gets you there. It's the journey of the path that leads you there. And some of us have had the best intentions, but we're asking the wrong question. Our pathways to our greatest regrets in life are paved with decisions in which we could answer that question, no, there's nothing wrong with it. Now, you don't do this when you watch other people. When you watch other people, you don't see their life as pictures. You don't see this little moment in their life and go, oh, by itself, that looks fine. You don't go, oh, I see that they're doing this and working late again. That looks fine. You don't do that. You watch the movie. You're watching as a script is unfolding. Where is this person going? How are they doing this? Look at their journey. Look at where they're heading to. No, stop. What are you doing? You're crazy. But we do it with ourselves. This book of Proverbs comes from an amazing place. It's Solomon becomes king after his father David, and he's young. And David has grown the kingdom just to be massive. And Solomon, just a young guy, he looks out there and he's like, I can't handle this. God comes to him in a dream. Look what God says to him. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream and he said, what do you want? Ask, and I'm going to give it to you. Can you imagine that? A young man coming to a young, there's a reason why he had 700 wives later, but ask whatever you want. And Solomon says, I think I need wisdom. And God, in that passage of scripture, gets excited. He's jazzed. He's pumped up. He's like, you asked for wisdom. That's amazing. You could have asked for the death of your enemies and you didn't do it. You could have asked for wealth and riches and you didn't do it. You could have asked for a bigger kingdom. You didn't do it. You asked for wisdom. That's who I am. That means you want to dwell with me. And he says, you know what? Because I'm so happy about what you're asking for, you get everything else too. I mean, and this is why I read the book of Proverbs every day when I was young, because I read this first. And I went, I need to ask for wisdom every day. God is just excited when we're asking the right questions. Ephesians 5 says, be very careful then how you live. not as unwise people, but wise people, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Lord's will. Sometimes we convince ourselves that that's really hard, right? How do we figure this out? You know, maybe that's just for the real serious people who are really religious or really sincere about their faith. And if we're going to listen to God and we're going to hear what he has to say in our life, that we're going to have to cut out mounds and mounds of time and get serious and fast and pray. And I just don't have much time. And I don't think God cares about my life. So I don't know if it's really that important that I hear. But that's not what the book of Proverbs says when it comes to wisdom. Read what it says a little bit later in the first chapter about what's going on with wisdom. It says this: wisdom goes out into the streets and shouts. At the town center, she makes her speech. In the middle of the traffic, she takes her stand. And at the busiest corner, she's calling out. In other words, in everyday real life, in your life, the way it is, where you are, at work, in your relationships, in the day-to-day traffic of life, wisdom is the one calling out to you. Simpletons, how long will you wallow in ignorance? How long will you just ignore things? How long will you just keep going your way, hoping for the best? Cynics, how long are you going to feed your cynicism and try to convince yourself that my word and my wisdom doesn't fit into your life, that it doesn't make sense for you? Fools, how long are you going to refuse to learn? How many mistakes do you need to make in this life before you'll listen to the author of life? I, wisdom, can revise your life. Look, I'm ready to pour out my spirit on you. I'm ready to tell you all I know. As it is, I have been calling to you, but you turned a deaf ear. I've reached out to you, but you have ignored me. Proverbs saying, no. This understanding God's will and guidance in life is not about his reluctance to share with you. It's not about his reluctance to share with me what I need to do. It's about me. It's about, am I willing to listen? Am I willing to take heed? Am I willing to apply what I know and what I've heard? Or am I just going to tune him out? Am I just going to press on with my life? Am I going to hope for the best in my journeys? It's not wisdom or God's spirit that's the problem. It's me. So we've been asking the wrong questions. What is the good question? What's the right question? Came across this question several years ago. The reason it's a great question is because it can be applied to every decision you're going to make. It's a great question because I believe it so resonates with God that he'll jump up and down like he did with Solomon to answer it. And it's a great question because it forces me to stop justifying and have a heart full of deception and to just hear him. It's a scary question. And it's very similar to what Solomon said. Just ask, what is the wise thing to do? If you're not scared yet, you will be. Because I believe this question filters out all those other noises. It'll filter out the salesman. It'll filter out the other voices talking to you. And if you were sincerely to approach God and say, in this decision that I'm making, in this journey that I'm on, God, what's the wise thing to do? He's so eager. He's so excited. It resonates with him. You see, Proverbs 8, I don't have time to read all these passages to you. You got to go home and read them. But Proverbs 8 talks about how wisdom was there in the beginning. It was in creation. It was by wisdom that God created everything. The reason the world works the way it does and everything fits the way it does is because wisdom was created into everything and had a part and a role to play. I believe that wisdom is the same as the Holy Spirit, and it's just talking into creation and building it, and he built you in there. How you work, how you think, how your desires are wired, who you are, you were created by wisdom. And when you stop and you ask and you engage and you say, wisdom, speak into my life, what is the wise thing to do? God, what is the wise thing to do? I believe it's crystal clear. I believe it'll eliminate the games that we play in our hearts and our minds. And when you hear it, when you hear the voice, Proverbs says, good friend, then take heart to what I'm telling you. Collect the counsel. Guard it with your life. Tune your ears to the world of wisdom. Set your heart on a life of understanding. That's right. If you make insight your priority and won't take no for an answer, searching for it like a prospector panning for gold or like an adventurer on a treasure hunt, believe me, before you know it, the fear of God will be yours, and you'll have come upon the knowledge of God. And here's why. Here's why, he says. Because God gives out wisdom for free. It's in plain spoken, in knowledge and in understanding. He's not trying to play games with you. It's because God wants to give it to you. That's why it'll work. He is a rich mine of common sense for those who want to live well. He's a personal bodyguard to the candid and the sincere in seeking him. He keeps his eye on all those who live honestly and pay special attention to his loyal, committed ones. It is God's initiative. It is God's initiative to talk to you. So if it's so easy to hear, and to be honest, I've heard God speak lots. When I asked this question, and he did last night, he just taught me again and said, just ask, Sean, just ask. All right, what's the wise thing to do? And I know in my heart, I already know. So what's the problem? The problem is applying the next verse, Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. It says, then you hear wisdom, what you got to do when it's calling out to you is this. You got to trust in him. You got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means don't trust in your heart. Don't trust in your gut. Don't trust in your understanding or trust in your circumstances or trust that you can figure this out. But trust God with your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. See, I think I can do it. I get down my path and I think I can figure it out and I feel I'm strong enough. He says, seek his will in all that you do. That means seek this in your finances. Seek it in your relationships. Seek out his wisdom in everything you're trying to do in life. And if you do that, his wisdom, his guidance, his Holy Spirit will show you which path to take. He'll guide you. He's not going to leave you out there wondering. He wants you to follow them. So my problem is not in God's ability to speak. It's not whether or not he will speak. I believe he will speak to you today if you ask. The question is more, will you depend on God? Will you trust his guidance or your own heart? Will you depend on your own thoughts? Will you say, yeah, but God, my circumstances are unique. But God, this wisdom wouldn't work for me because? Or are you going to give it to him and say, it's not going to be my understanding? I'm going to trust in you and have faith in you. The good news is that You know, sometimes we've been on these paths for so long that we've got down a road and we're looking around and we're like, I am nowhere where God wants me to be. I can't see anything around me that would indicate that God's part of this plan. The amazing thing about this is that you can still pray that prayer. God's wisdom for you is only one step from your spot. Even in the midst of your commitments, the midst of your contracts, the midst of your mess, the midst of everything that you've created around you, where you've got, where you can't believe you're there, in the midst of that, wisdom still can be found one step ahead if you choose to ask, what is the wise thing to do? Now, some of those situations are messy. They're painful. They're hard. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be counterintuitive. But wisdom can be found. You're never going to be too far off. He always takes us where we're at, and he can move us forward on the path that brings life. Jesus in John 14 and 15 and 16, and he's meeting with his disciples, and they're meeting for the Passover. And he starts telling them about the things that are going to happen. And they're in shock, and they don't believe him. And they're like, he's like, I'm going to face persecution. I'm going to face torture. I'm actually going to face my death, guys. And they start panicking. No, this can't be true. What do you mean? And Jesus says, don't worry about it, because I got some good news in this. It's part of the plan. See, the plan is that I'm going to go back to my Father. And the best part about it is it's better for you that this happens to me. And they're flabbergasted, because it's like, how could anything be better than having Jesus walking around with you? How could it be better? How could you be dying be better? He says, because what's going to happen is I'm going to send you a counselor. I'm going to send you my Spirit, and he's going to reside in you. And he's going to guide you. He's going to protect you. He's going to go with you every step of the way. So no matter which path you're on, no matter what journey you're on, no matter how far you go away, wherever you're at, all you need to do is just ask. And I will guide you where you need to go. He'll speak my words and my truth. He'll remind you of what I taught. He'll remind you of what is true. He'll guide your path to life and keep you away from destruction. All you'll have to do, no matter where you are, is just ask. The question is, will you just ask? Some of you are just living, and I've been there. And when you ask, I believe you're going to hear today. If I could give you a guarantee or a written whatever, I would do it. It's because it's his desire to speak. He's calling. He's the one screaming in your life, saying, I want to impart to you wisdom for your life. Will you stop and pay attention, please? Bow your heads with me. The first part is just to admit, God, I've been leaning on my own understanding. I've been trying to figure this life thing out. And if you just say, you know what? God, I'm done. I surrender. I need help from where I'm at. I'm in a place right now that I need to hear your wisdom. If that's you, I mean, I would just even say, you wave your hand in the air and just flag, God, here. Hello, I'm over here on this journey here. I really just need you to guide me. Heavenly Father, would you just be with these people? You have never meant for us to live life by ourselves, alone, trying to figure it out, trying to learn the hard way, all these wonderful things we say to ourselves to convince ourselves that we're going to be okay, that we'll just figure it out and learn by the hard knocks of life. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Spirit that has been promised to us to guide us to the life that is truly bountiful and joyful. Those that today are willing to say, I lean not on my own understanding, but I will trust in yours. Heavenly Father, would you speak to them? Would you give them the path and empower them to follow?